Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. We would like to encourage those of you on all the different platforms to consider going to agendaweekly.com and becoming a subscriber and help supporting us in what we are trying to do and spreading truth to as many people as possible. But thank you for listening, watching, sharing, and liking, and we really appreciate it very much. This week, we're going to answer a lot of the emails we received from you at the beginning and then get into a very important discussion on what is patriotism? What does that mean? Is it open for discussion that can mean whatever you want it to mean or what I want it to mean? Or is it something specific? And we're going to look at that because I think it is an important foundational principle to being a citizen of this country and a blessing to it, depending on your definition of what that means. But again, thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us this week. As I get started on your emails, first of all, I want to thank you for sending them. We get so many, we can't answer them all, but I'm going to try to answer several of them to get started here. This is from Arthur. He says this, and this might be something you're going through too. He said, "My church is diligent in studying the Bible, witnessing, and praying. However, the truth about COVID-19 and the communist insurgency are off limits. This is coming from the top. They get videos from the central leadership that are devoid of this topic area and who say it is a satanic distraction from the Lord's move. However, they seem to accept the mainstream media's line about COVID-19, that it's dangerous, that we need the vaccine, mask, and lockdowns." And he's concerned about that, which he should be. What the problem is, Arthur, and all of you in that situation, is you're being led by sheep instead of by shepherds. Our culture has produced, and our seminaries that have been so liberalized have produced men that are supposed to be shepherds, but have given them the characteristics of a sheep, of a follower. And so they're not talking about all the current things going on, which they should be. Of all organizations that exist, the church should be always speaking about everything that's going on in the culture, in the community, in the families. And so, because it shows to the young people and the adults that the Bible has something to say about everything. It's relevant in real life, in real situations. So I'm sorry to hear about that, but it's very common. And if you continue to experience that reality, I think sometimes it's time to look for a new church, because it's best when you're in a healthy, strong church that's not only studying the Bible, which is great you're doing that, witnessing and praying, but then they're practicing what the Bible is saying that they're studying, which is to be the salt and the light. So we got to do that. Another email here from Julie. "I love the Agenda Weekly podcast. I just feel so hopeless regarding the direction of this country under the left. I know the left will never stop or give up. The Bible talks about end times, and we are right there. I just don't want to feel any more discouraged than I already feel. It's pretty hopeless." Well, Julie, and those of you that feel like that, I feel like that sometimes. It's easy to be overwhelmed because you're just like, we're outnumbered, we're outmanned, we're losing. But here's a few things to remember, and I want to encourage you on this. God's ways are not man's ways. There's so many things we can't see that are going on that we're not aware of. But God is always working. He's always doing things. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." So don't lean on your own understanding. It looks hopeless. Yeah, it does sometimes. But many times in history, we see when it was the most hopeless is when God stepped in and parted the Red Sea. When there was no hope of escaping the Egyptian army, all of a sudden the water opened up. And God can do that anytime. So lean not on that in thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. We need to be living like Christians. And when we do that, the blessing of it, and we're trusting in Him, not on our own reasoning, He's going to direct our path. He's going to let us know individually, this is what I would like you to do, and this is where you need to be, and this is, you know, how to raise your children, and this is how to do this and that. And so it helps open our eyes to what's in the Bible, but He also just directs our path through convictions and different things He brings into our path. So I just want to encourage you, don't be discouraged. Satan wants you to be discouraged. Don't be. But be trusting in the Lord. He has a plan. We were born for such a time as this. Okay, there's a reason why God had you born right now while this is going on. And make sure you know what it is. And if you don't know, ask Him. Because it's purposeful. And there's no mistakes. Another one here from Lori. My husband and I are extremely concerned about the flood of illegal immigrants coming into Texas. We have contacted our senators and would appreciate advice from Curtis as to what else we can do. Well, thank you for acting to begin with. That's wonderful. You can now start to organize. That means where you not only act on your own, you start to get other people to act with you. Maybe even starting a little group, and then you start to maximize your influence by using the talents and abilities of that group to influence others as much as possible in churches and in your cities and towns and things around Texas to get there to be more of a movement to demand that this is stopped, that they can't just come in anyone for any reason at any time. But I want to share another perspective of that too. Then if you realize we're not going to be able to stop this, okay, what's the solution then? It's reaching these people that are coming in with the gospel. Maybe your churches, if most of them are Spanish-speaking people, make sure the churches in your area all have Spanish ministries that are sharing the gospel, that are teaching biblical principles, that are encouraging those people once they get saved to be dependent on God instead of government. We need to maximize everything. If something is being allowed to happen, then how can we turn it to our advantage? Well, if we can share the gospel and those people get saved and we teach them biblical principles in our churches, then all of a sudden we've turned something into a positive. That's what the left does. They make sure everything turns to a positive. Whatever's going on, they're going to use it to their advantage. Well, we need to do the same thing, but in a righteous way. But thank you for that. Another one, she was saying, you were talking about ivermectin and vitamin D and magnesium and different things. And what were the doses and what were the amounts you're taking of those things with your family? We've got below attached a guide to home-based COVID treatment. So below, there's a link down there, and you could print this out like I did if you'd like and keep it, where it tells you if you get COVID, if you think you have COVID, here's things you can do from home. Here's key things to look for. Here's key ways of handling that from home. It's very informative, written by doctors. And so anyway, we will have that available for you below. And read through that. It's very informative and very encouraging of here's all the things I can do from home at the different levels of having COVID. If I get it, here's how I'll know I have it. And here's what I do at each step of the way along the path. So that I hope will be a blessing to you. We also tied into that. Gary wrote about, and we have the links below, Stand for Health Freedom. It's an organization that has some petitions and things you can sign, and we'll have the links below in the action section. But things you can sign and be a part of to stop this infringement on our freedom to decide what medications we're going to take and what things we're not going to take. And so that's a great blessing. But anyway, that's there for you as well below. Now, some of you I know always like getting some encouraging news. Well, I received a letter from a young man, Samuel, from Iowa. And I'm just going to read a little bit of it to you to let you know people are listening. People are are listening and thinking and changing, even young people. We have a lot of young people that listen to Agenda Weekly, and they're able to do that because you subscribe and you help support us so we can afford to be able to do put this information out there. So thank you. But here's someone that was changed by your support of us. He goes, first of all, I would like to thank you for all the research and work you have done to warn people of the threat of communism. It has been extremely enlightening. I am sure that you spent countless hours working on the Agenda movies and the other material you have put out, and there were probably a few times when you felt discouraged. Yes, Samuel, there was, and there still is sometimes, and that's normal. Anyway, he goes on, but I want you to know that you have deeply impressed at least one young person. Having heard you expose the grave peril which hangs over our nation, I became deeply motivated to fight to preserve liberty in America. It has become my calling and my passion. As a servant of God's kingdom, I strongly believe that this is my assignment to stop communism, the anti-God worldview, from coming to power and so prevent it from choking the church's ability to fulfill the Great Commission. I hope that's encouraging to you. It was to me. That's one young man that is going to dedicate his life to for standing for the truth, exposing evil, so the church can flourish and grow like God wants it to. Anyway, they're a good thing. God's doing stuff in people's lives all over the world. Yeah, I know the left has a lot of influence and is doing a lot of things to destroy, but there's a lot of other people that are building things back up. And so just I want you to know that. Another quick one. Another lady said, should we be supporting the Republican Party? And I would say, no, you should not. And she says, what about the Trump PAC? I would say, if you are wanting to donate to something that's affecting politics and getting good candidates into office, I would much more, I would personally be much more likely to give to a Trump PAC when I know he's going to try his best to help fund people that really want to make America great again, really want to stand for the truth. I would never give one dime to the Republican Party because that will go to, half of that will go to just as many bad candidates as good candidates. But that's an interesting point. Here's another real encouraging one. They're telling me what they're doing, and I hope you've done some of these things, but if not, I hope you'll be encouraged by this. People are acting. First, we are starting a biblical citizenship class at our church in Central Texas. Second, we are screening Agenda Weekly once a week at our house and inviting open-minded neighbors and friends for both fellowship and how to understand the solemn times that we live in today. So that's one way they're using Agenda Weekly. Inviting different open-minded people over and letting them be exposed to some of this type of information in hopes that it will motivate them to act. The action steps that you give us at the end of each week are so helpful. We have canceled our Amazon Prime, deleted Facebook, and have switched to DuckDuckGo, Signal, switched to local banks, and are currently working on switching from our last big tech platform, Google, and their suite of services. And then they recommend a few other things. They said, you know, we encourage you to tell people about Gab.com, which we've talked about that before. A good platform. A Christian man is the CEO of that. But it's about free speech. It's about allowing people to communicate freely with each other. So that's a great thing to support. And they also mentioned Linux, L-I-N-U-X, which is an alternative to Mac or Windows platforms and software operating systems. So anyway, that's some things to think about. Lastly, here before we get into our topic, H.R. 5, the Equality Act. I think you know how bad this is. We haven't talked about it too much, but it gives government total control of everything. All businesses, all churches, all religions, all schools, all private and public institutions, the media. It grabs 1.5 million acres and over 1,000 miles of river frontage and stops it from ever being able to be developed in America. It does just so many different things that are terrible. It allows, as this one list says, it allows activist educators to teach your children to question their gender and sexual orientation. It will change athletic programs for girls and women's sports. It will limit privacy and safety for women in restrooms, locker rooms, shelters, and prisons. Do you understand? Biological males will be allowed to be in the prisons with the women, in the shelters for battered women with them. I mean, this thing is so evil and so horrible. If you haven't called and written your congressmen and senators, and it still has gone through the House, I guess, and still needs to go through the Senate, but stir up as many people as possible against this. It also will impact the curriculum of all schools, including Christian private schools. They will have to submit to teaching this as normal. It will be a crime to not do that. It also limits religious freedom for the churches and faith-based organizations. They will have to now hire transgender people to be a part of what they're doing. I mean, the Salvation Army that has always stood for traditional marriage, they will not be able to do that anymore. They will have to allow transgenders to work there in their organization, to be part of the board, be part of the leadership. It threatens the free speech of everyone. It's just an evil, horrible bill that they're putting forward, and we need to stand against it. But that's some of the basic things that I wanted to cover with you before we get into our main topic. So as we head into the topic of what is patriotism, I got one more letter that kind of is a great intro into where this topic is heading here. It says this. This is from Margaret. Every day that goes by, my conviction remains even more so as I read further of how our nation was founded, how it came to be established, and the genius of it all, not to mention the infinite wisdom behind the scenes. We the people give our consent. I believe most citizens would consent to having our borders closed. She's exactly right. When they no longer care if we give them our consent, then they are turning away from what it means to be a patriot, what it means to be patriotic toward our country. A key principle we need to understand is what Alexis de Tocqueville said about America. He came here in the early 1800s from France, and he wanted to see why America was just rising up so quickly in stature in the entire world, and nations that had been there for hundreds of years, it was just blowing by them. And he wondered why that was. And his conclusion, after he went and just studied everything, politics, religion, family, and he looked around the education system, what makes America different? And he said this, he said, America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And that's the fundamental principle I want to talk about. What is patriotism? Patriotism is standing for and living by the principles that made America great. And what were those principles? Of us being a moral people, a people that feared God, a people that did the things He had asked us to do, and how we raised our families, and how we ran our government, and how our churches operated, and how our communities loved each other and took care of each other. And so it's not just open, like they say today, for personal interpretation. You can't just say, well, I'm patriotic. No, you can't say that. It's not by words we know if you're patriotic, it's by actions. And so when a leftist, a Democrat says, well, we're patriotic too, it's a lie. They are not, because they are doing everything possible to undermine the foundations of freedom, undermine the constitutional principles they have sworn to uphold, undermine the fundamental bedrock of America, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Once you take God out of the equation and that our rights are from Him and they cannot be infringed upon, you are an enemy of the state. You are an enemy of our country, and you cannot say that you're patriotic. It's crazy anyway, if you think about it, how they talk like, well, we're patriotic too, and they're for people burning flags, and they're for people destroying and pillaging and being immoral. Immorality itself, if you had no other enemies, would take our country down. Just that one thing. People being immoral, you will collapse. The communists know that. That's why they've always pushed for us to become an immoral people. But so, fundamental parts of being patriotic are people that stand by constitutional principles and the principles in the Declaration. And not only, again, stand for those, but they live by those. We have to be consistent in our worldview where we actually practice what we preach, or otherwise we, a lot of times, are part of the problem just as much as those that don't even pretend to care about what God said or the biblical principles this country was founded upon. And so that is key. In Proverbs, it says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is the reproach of any people. Righteousness is what is patriotism. To fear God, that's patriotic. To be faithful in your marriage, that's patriotic. To raise your children in such a way they know the difference between what is right and what is wrong, that's patriotic. That is righteousness that is exalting a nation so God will bless it. Doing things the other way around. Having your kids in schools, and I know this one is hard, but having your kids in a school system that teaches them God is a lie and there is no morality is against us. Being part of that, it's against us. It's the facts. And people have grown not to like the facts because they want to just hear the things that go along with the way they inconsistently live their life. But we can't do that. We are entering the same phase or the same belief system that set up the French Revolution today. And what it is when you're not held by the law of contradiction, when that doesn't bother you to contradict yourself in what you believe, the way you act, then it goes back to the tell a lie, make it big, repeat it often, and the majority of the people will believe you. That's what Hitler said. That's what the Soviet Union did. It's when they can contradict truth because they act like there is no truth. Well, you can't do that. That's committing suicide when you allow yourself to live contradictory. And if a nation does that and acts like there are no moral absolutes, there are no bedrock foundational principles that cannot be defied, then you're in the process of committing suicide. That's what's happening today in our, you know, postmodern era where it's collapsing. Because they allow people to hold contradictory views at the same time and will not accept you trying to expose that. It's none of your business. That's just the way it is. And so we see that happening. But the French Revolution focused, of course, on self-indulgence. That's where we are today. Instead of self-restraint, America was founded on self-restraint, a disciplined, self-controlled people that did what is right, whether they felt like it or not. They were, of course, today we're turning toward, we want equality of outcomes. And America was about equality of opportunity. We are going to instill this principle in our society that rights are from God, so all men are to be free. And in being free, then they have the opportunity to do whatever they think God would have them to do. Of course, the revolutionary attitude tolerates only approved speech. And we say, no, the answer to bad speech isn't to punish, but to refute it with better speech. And this is some of the principles Wesley Smith was writing about here, but it's so important. I was just looking at some of these and I go, this goes along exactly with what I was thinking and what we've been planning to talk about. The French Revolution detested Christianity. Well, that's where America is today. It detests Christianity. And they seek to establish a mandatory secular religion and all must obey. That's what H.R. 5 we just talked about. That's what that is. You cannot have freedom of religion. Well, I don't think it's right for people to be involved in these things. We don't care. You must submit to our religion of secular humanism that says the state is God. And if the state tells you you have no conscience, then you have no conscience. You must do what we tell you to do. And on it goes. But the fruit of one, the fruit of revolution, whether it was the French Revolution or the Bolshevik Revolution or the Cultural Revolution in China or the revolution we're experiencing today, the Marxist Revolution, the fruit of it is, of course, despotism, death, and destruction. And the fruit of America at its founding was an ever-increasing level of freedom to the people, and then the blessing of God on that, where he allowed us to become a prosperous nation, where a man could provide for his family, and he could be free to not be have to get something from the government or be on the dole from anyone. And so that's some of the fundamental things that have changed. So patriotism isn't words, it's actions. It's doing the things that help America prosper and be blessed by God. And that's just a key fundamental thing we haven't really addressed. We allow all people to say we're patriotic, even when they have completely differing views on a fundamental issue. I'll tell you this, anyone going against constitutional principles, they are not patriotic. They are an enemy of our country. And isn't it interesting how our society is so into name-calling? So, you know, the woke, the cancel culture, they're so into discrediting people by words that a lot of times we forget to look at their actions to see if it is true what they have been accused of. President Trump is a perfect example. All 4 years of his presidency, we were told how racist he was and how evil he was. And he was a white nationalist and all this other just foaming at the mouth attacks against him. But if you look at his actions, you realize he was the most pro-black president we have ever had in our country, ever. The policies he implemented helped the black community more than any other Republican or Democrat since George Washington. But yet they were trying to persuade people, no, he's a racist. And it was a lie. We've got to stop listening to words and start watching and observing actions, because we're in a culture of great deceit, and there's so much lies going on. Now, one thing I wanted to bring up just to show you how so many things in history aren't quite what they appear to be. And this is something I touch on very carefully. And it's about the Pledge of Allegiance. And I know that's important to most of you, I'm sure. And it's important to me. But as I dug in to find out more about that, I came across some interesting information. The man who wrote the Pledge of Allegiance was a socialist, and he wrote it to indoctrinate the school children into being loyal to the state. And then as you really look at the words to that, you're like, you know, your pledge is allegiance to the indivisible state. Well, our founders would have never made a pledge to the indivisible state. Now, I know what you mean when you say the pledge, and I know what I mean when I've said the pledge all my life with my hand over my heart. It means I love America, and I'm thankful to God that he allowed me to be born here and live here. And so I'm not saying you can't ever say the pledge again, but I'm saying we need to look in at things in a different way, beyond the words and beyond just what's on the surface of things. And so what I do now, every time I'm somewhere where they're saying the pledge, and I know they're saying it with the right heart, I just pray for my country with my hand over my heart. God have mercy on us. God protect us. God direct our path. And so that's what I do. But that was something, again, as I was studying patriotism and stuff, a lot of us think the pledge is patriotic. And it is with the right heart. But it was also something that was meant to be against us. And that we're not loyal to institutions or individuals. We're loyal to principles. That's the key thing. And we need to always remember that. We're loyal to biblical principles. If they're being upheld, we're for them. If they're not, we're against it. And so it's just a different way of looking at things. But it's something that, again, I didn't know until a few years back. And as I thought about it, I thought, wow, that is really powerful how so much of what we've been led to believe is one way is not as much that way as we think it is. One other key element about this is understanding patriotism, but understanding how it can be used against us as well. They know, the establishment Republicans and establishment Democrats know, if they can cloak something in patriotism, or this is what everyone wants to do if they love their country, they can persuade us to do things without thinking about what they're asking us to do. The Patriot Act is the most famous modern day example where George W. Bush pushed forward a piece of legislation that removed so many of our constitutional rights, but as if that was patriotic. Oh, it's the Patriot Act. Who's not for that? And the Republicans pushed that through, not the Democrats. And so they know if you want a Republican to do something, cover it in a flag. If you want a Democrat to do something, make it appeal to the bleeding heart liberal mentality. Children are going to die if we don't do this. So they know how to get whatever they want depending on who's in office. And that's what they've done. But Hermann Göring, who was one of Hitler's top men, listened to this quote of how he talked about how they used patriotism, and they do this in America too, to get whatever they want. He said, quote, "Why, of course the people don't want war. Why should some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia, nor in England, nor for that matter in Germany. That is understood. But after all, it is the leaders of a country who determine the policy, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along. The people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them that they are being attacked and denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country," unquote. Isn't that amazing? It's what they do. That's why you need to understand what patriotism is. And you need to make sure those who are demanding of you to be patriotic are patriotic themselves. They're not just using our love for our country against us. And it happens constantly. And so we need to look at that. Well, in closing, I just want to go into for a second the Declaration of Independence. It's what made America so different. A lot of us don't realize this because we've just grown up knowing what we know, that our rights do come from God. But our founders were the first ones in world history to ever, by observing natural law, to determine that the rights to be free, the rights coming from God, are just part of who we are. Every human being, because they're made in the image of God, they are entitled to these rights of life, of liberty, to be free, of the pursuit of happiness. That is every person in every country, period. And they were the first ones to define that way. And up until that point, you know, it was rights are a gift from government. They will tell you what you can do and what you cannot do. And our founder said, no, that's not the way God designed the universe to operate. And it changed everything. And so I just want to read just a little bit of this for you because it's so valuable. And it's so different than, again, any other nation on earth. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. They're entitled to this. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. They were such decent and honorable men. They did not have a revolution. They had a war of independence. That's not revolutionary talk. Revolutionary talk is destruction. It's death. It's you do whatever you want to do and get whatever you want. When you are wanting to make sure everyone understands what you are doing and to clearly define why we are declaring ourselves independent, that is not a revolutionary act. That is an honorable act. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Again, we go, yeah, I've heard that a million times. First time in world history that was ever articulated. And then because once you see the truth, sometimes all of a sudden you go, oh, that's obvious. I know, but it hadn't been obvious until they studied the Bible and history enough to realize, no, this is the way God wanted things to be. Anyway, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. An unalienable right is interesting. They talked about it. They said, when you have an unalienable right, it's a right that cannot be transferred to someone else. You cannot get rid of it. You can't say, well, no, I don't want that. You have it. It's not like a car. You might have a lien on a car or something, but you can sell the car and get rid of it, and then I don't have that anymore. It is something that you have and you are entitled to, and you must make good with. And the reason God wanted it to be that way is because we will give an account to Him one day. And so He will say, what did you do with what I gave you, your time, your treasures, your talents? And so it's just a fundamental principle. But see, once you take God out of the equation, which they've been working to do in our schools and our culture for 100 years, then that principle is gone. It's gone. Then rights obviously come from something else besides God. And of course, they want you to believe it's from government. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Again, flipped everything on its head. Saying, no. The point of government isn't to govern. It's to protect the rights and secure them of the people. Flipping everything on its head. Deriving their just powers. So what are their just powers? From the consent of the governed. And that's why right now, as that one letter saw and you see, they are not using the power to do what the governed are consenting to them to allow them to do. They are despots. They are enemies of our country. They are not patriotic. And we must stand against them. And it goes on and on. I know you're familiar with this. Probably not as familiar as you should be, but a couple more little things I want to read about it. So they go through all this, but they say, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object devices a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. So it's saying when all of a sudden they're abusing this and they're taking away our rights and they're becoming dictators over us, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. So he's saying under God, it is a man's right and his duty to throw off a government that is abusing its power over the people. Why? Because God told us we're supposed to love our neighbor. And to allow a government to abuse you is one thing, but when you see them abusing your neighbor, if you won't stand for yourself, you should at least stand for your neighbor and say, no, you cannot do that to him. And so they go through why, all the ways that the king had broken his covenant with them. And therefore, he was no longer their king because he had broken the covenant they had. And they were happy to have him be their king. But they go through all the things and they explain clearly, you said you wouldn't do this, but you did. You said you wouldn't do this but other thing, but you did. And on and on. And it's the most honorable thing. It shows me what honorable men that they were. Because they wanted everyone in the world to know, we're not having a revolution. We're not being rebellious against just authority. We are letting everyone know because he has broken his covenant with us, the king. He is no longer our king. And therefore, we are instituting a government that will secure the rights of man to be free. And then we're going to teach our people to be moral and virtuous and have character. Because we know that is the only thing that will be able to hold them down from abusing themselves or others. And when you lose the fabric of morality, as Samuel Adams said and so many others, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. You cannot be as free as the Constitution and the biblical principles allow us to be if you do not fear God. If you do not know the reality, you will give an account. You cannot have that freedom, and you must have chains upon you. And you cannot pass enough laws to withhold the evil, sinful heart of man. And so that's like I've talked about in the past. When you take God out, you will have communism. 100%. That's all it is the absence of God being respected, being feared, and being obeyed. And then communism comes right in, and you will then do what you are told, whether you like it or not. It's also wonderful here, this last thing, and I encourage you, as we covenant together to stand for biblical truth, to maybe in your group together, covenant in the same way they did at the end of the Declaration. And they said this, "And for the support of this Declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence," that's God Almighty, "we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." There's strength in covenanting together, where there's accountability, there's others you're standing for besides just yourself. We need to make that same pledge today. Our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, knowing that God will be with us as we stand for truth. Tomorrow is Easter Sunday, the resurrection of the Savior of the world. You know I'm a Christian because I'm on here, but I know many of you might not be because you're just a conservative-minded person and you believe in God. But I want you to know true freedom only comes from accepting what Jesus did on the cross, his death, his burial, and then his resurrection, showing he had victory over death. He's someone worth following. He's someone worth having faith in. He's someone, he's proven his love for us by his sacrifice. Not words, it was actions. And I just encourage you, as you celebrate Easter Resurrection Sunday tomorrow, and then those of you maybe that don't go to church, I would encourage you to get out the Bible that you have in your home and read Matthew 26 through 28. It's the story of Jesus's last few days before he was crucified, and the Last Supper, and then the trial, and then the death, burial, and resurrection of the Savior. And if that's something you enjoy, then I encourage you to go to the book of John and just read the entire book of John, telling us how we know that Jesus was the Son of God. Thank you so much for being a part of what we do here and subscribing and supporting us in that way. We've got a bunch of different social media links below if you want to connect with us in different ways. But just, again, we really appreciate you. Make sure you look at the action items below and the different videos we've posted. One key one that's down there this week is a documentary on how vaccines are racist in the way they do them. It is a powerful video. Once you've watched it, please share it with everyone you know. Please also continue praying for our country and the different things we have below. Prayer can move mountains. Prayer can do things that we are not capable of doing ourselves, because God is God and He's listening. But again, thank you again. We hope you have a wonderful week. And until next week, God bless you.